Amen. Praise the Lord for the cross. The cross is why we have hope
in times of death. The cross is why we have hope of seeing Brother Howard again one day. And I praise the Lord for the cross. So today we will be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verse number 12. Thinking about you can be a good example. My original thought was you could be an example, but everybody's an example of something. But guess what? You, child of God, can be a good example to the believers. And it doesn't in anything that you may have in your mind, but this or but this or but that. No, you can be a good, if you're saved, you can be a good example. And yesterday morning, I had the privilege of spending some time with the young men. We went and got breakfast, and we had a Bible study, but we can't spiritualize it too much. Then we played some video games, but we dealt with this passage of Scripture here, and I couldn't get this thought off my mind, so I wanted to deal with this morning as well. If you found your place, please stand in reverence to God's holy Word. I thank the Lord for this book. I praise the Lord for it, and that is why we stand in reverence to it. And since we're only reading one verse this morning, that will be easy. So 1 Timothy 4, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege that you've given us to come to your house this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give me the grace to handle your word correctly and open the ears of every hearer to hear what your word has to say to us. Please be with all those that are sick. Please be with Brother Howard. Give him grace in his transition. And please be with Miss Linda and their whole family throughout this whole process, we pray. And speak to us now from your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So how to be a good example. We have the Apostle Paul here today writing to young Timothy. And he's letting him know, because Timothy was in a similar position to me, in the sense of he was going into the ministry, the pastorate, the leading of a congregation at a young age. And Paul wanted to write to him to let him know that you don't have to let them look down on you. To specifically, it says here, despise thy youth, disesteem you. But then he tells him how he can gain their respect and be a good example to them. Every person in this room that is saved by the grace of God can be an example to other believers. You can be, and you should be. And we see how to be this morning in the Scripture before us. So, the first thing we see here this morning, number one, is the aim. What is the goal? We see here it says, "Let no man despise thy youth." So, two things we see here under the aim. First, we see the command. Let no man despise. The word despise means to think against, to disesteem, to have a low opinion of. And what is the focus? That's the command. Let no man despise. And what are the characteristics here? In this case specifically, it was, Timothy says, thy youth. That literally means your newness. Your youthfulness, the fact that you're young is what Paul's saying. Let no man look down upon you or think lowly of you just because you're young. Now, every kid in the room's like, yeah. You don't need to be looking down on me. No, a lot of teenagers and children earn the disesteem of adults. Paul here, this is, if you want to be an example to the believers, and if you want to, if maybe there's a teenager in the room or watching later, and you want adults to look at you as an adult and to look at you as a person, someone that they could think highly of, then live that way. So many kids want the respect of adults but are not willing to earn it. Paul here is telling Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, thy newness. So here he's saying, don't let anyone look down upon you, Timothy, in your ministry. And see, that's the whole focus here. This isn't just don't let somebody look down upon you because you're young, but in the ministry. See, God's got ministry for all of us to do. And the focus of whatever that ministry is, the heart of it, is to glorify God and to share the good news of the gospel with people. So that's what it's referring to here. When you're in ministry, Timothy, let no man look down upon you or disesteem you because you are young. Or anybody in the room could say, well, maybe people look at me and think, they don't think I'm useful to the Lord because I'm too old. Same thing could be said to you. Let no man despise your age, young or old. Not just your age, but your ability. Let no man despise your ability. Some of the greatest men of God in this county that I know are not the greatest preachers in the world. And some people might disesteem their ministry because of their ability, but truthfully, they are powerhouses for God, and God has blessed their ministry and blessed their messages. Just because somebody doesn't do it the way I do it doesn't mean I can look down upon them for that. And whatever your ability may be, and it will grow if you're always abounding in the work of the Lord, as the Bible says, but don't let someone look down upon you because of your age or your ability, or I put here your acclaim, your status. People may think, well, people don't think much of me because I came from a broken home or a terrible family, or my last name, I carry a load with me. No, you can still be an example. You can still earn the respect of people in a godly manner as you do the work of the Lord. And we have that before us in our text this morning. So the whole goal of this is to let no man despise thy youth, to think against, to disesteem, to have a low opinion of. He's saying, and then he says next, not only do we see the aim, but we see the action. How do we gain the respect of those in ministry around us? And that's the goal here. The focus here today is being an example to other children of God. That's the focus here this morning. How do we gain that respect in the ministry? It says, but be thou an example of the believers. And look at this here. So as we think about the action, the first thing we see under the action is, this is personal. It says, but be thou. That means be you. If you're saved, although this is written directly to Timothy, I believe it's written to you and me as well. Be thou. Tune in very closely this morning. This verse, if you're saved, is speaking directly to you. This is personal, but we see the particulars. It says, but be thou an example. What does the word example there mean? It means a die, a stamp or scar, a shape, a statue, style or resemblance, a sampler, a model for imitation or instance for warning, fashion, figure, form, that's a good word there, manner, pattern, print, a figure formed by a blow or impression. So it gives the picture of a mold. You know how you make molds for products so that each product will be the same, but you got to make the mold first? The Lord is saying through Paul to Timothy and to you and me, you be the mold. You be the one that everyone else models their life after. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world. What that's saying is don't fit into the mold of the world. But instead, be transformed. Have your mold changed and you be the mold. And when I keep punching my fist, it's like pushing your fist into concrete. That's the picture I get. Making an impression in concrete and then you see the mold there. That's kind of the picture here. But you be the mold that everyone follows. You be the standard. You be the example. No matter who you are in this room or watching online or listening at a later date on our website, if you're saved, you can be the mold that people follow. Because the same Holy Spirit that lives within me lives within you. But that verse in Romans 12:2, it goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It says, but be thou an example. You be the mold, the impression, the pattern. Yeah, when I thought about this, you be the master copy that is used to make all the other reprints. You be that example. So this is personal. The particulars, but be thou an example. And here's the key. We see the population. Who are you to be an example to? Of the believers. The goal here is to be an example to believers. What do you mean by that, Pastor Tyler? Some Christians think that they are to be an example to lost people, and in a sense, we are. But let me explain that further. I wrote this thought down that I had. I wrote, we are to be examples to saints, but we are to be evangelists to sinners. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'll help you understand what I mean by this. We are to be examples to believers, evangelists to the sinners. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Here is the sense in which we should be an example to lost people with the ultimate goal of their salvation. Someone does not get saved by the way you by them seeing you live your life the way you do. The Bible doesn't say, for the way Tyler Fenner lives his life is the power of God unto salvation. Does it say that? No, it does not. It says the gospel is. So where does my example and the gospel come into contact in a witnessing encounter? Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. So you're letting your light shine. You're living for God. You're being a good example. Then it goes on to say, that they may see your good works. See, that's what we think. That's where we think the line stops. A lot of Christians think the line stops where they see my good works. They see the example. But, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's the picture being painted there? Is that saying a lost person looks at me and says, man, he's living a godly life. Praise the Lord. No, that's not what that means. That means is a lost person sees me shining my light. They ask me, what is different about you? What makes you live this way? Then you get to plant the gospel seed in their heart by witnessing to them, and that is when they glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the picture being painted right there. Then go with me to I lost my place in my notes here. Go with me to 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter 2:12. This continues this thought. 1 Peter 2:12. Bible says, 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What's the day of visitation? When the Lord deals with their heart. Live a godly life so it gives you an opportunity to witness to people. But the key here this morning is to be an example to other believers to motivate them to want to live that way. We live a godly life to believers to be the example. We live a godly life to unbelievers, to be evangelists, to give us opportunities to share the gospel. And hope that differentiation is clear. So we see the action. This is personal. We see the particulars. Be an example, the population of the believers. Okay, number three, we see what are the areas that we are to be examples in. I think this really encompasses every aspect of life. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. It says, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Several areas here. The first one we see here, it says, be thou an example in word. In word, simply put, be thou an example in your speech. Be an example in the way you talk. Let's all pause for a moment and let's take a step back and ask ourselves, and remember the goal, the title of the message, a good example. Now let's take a step back. Think about how I'm not with you every day, but you think about how you talk. Is how you talk a good example? Would you want another believer to hear you talk that way in that moment and them to do and say what you did in that moment? The Bible here is commanding you and me to live in such a way that, or we can say as Paul. Paul said, be thou a follower of me as I am of Christ. What a statement. Paul says, follow me and I'll lead you to Jesus. That's what our example should be, first off, in our text here, in the way we speak. Verse 29, or Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt, that means wicked, dirty, putrefied, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Notice it doesn't say let some. Let some for the purpose of a dirty joke. Let some because it's going to make this person smile or laugh. No, it says let no. That means none. That means zero. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Remember, we're called Christians, which that means little Christs. And when we use corrupt communication, and you can put that however you want it to be, does people look at us and say, that sounds like Jesus? Or does that sound like the devil? Because it's not, there is no middle ground there. The way we talk sounds like Christ or it sounds like the devil. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. That is if you want to be a good example to the believers. So we see in word, but not only in word, in conversation. Now this can be confusing. This is an area where you once again need to study. But 1 Timothy 4:12, we see it says in conversation. But it just said word. Why would it say conversation? Well, the word conversation here means our conduct. Not only in the way we talk, but the way we act, the way we live. We are to be an example to the believers. The things we do. If somebody, for a day, if a brother, kind of like sometimes how you've seen police officers allow some people to have ride-alongs with them, or if not, then I've seen it in the movies, but let's just humor me for a moment. Riding along with a police officer, would they see a good example in your life? If somebody rode along with you for a day, would the way you live? Now, if they rode along with you, you'd probably change the way you live. But if they watched you for a day and you didn't realize it, would what you did that day make them want to be more like Jesus? Or make them want to be less like Jesus? Would they see you reading your Bible? Would they see you praying? Would they see you faithful to church and everything that the church offers? Every ministry of the church, I should say. We need to be, if we're going to be an example, we've got to be an example in word, but we've got to be an example in our conversation, our manner of living. And that is not just, although it counts in, it is focused on here too, but not just when you're at church. The way we live our life every single day. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Got to get them pages unstuck from in Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 15 and 16. Thinking about our conversation, our manner of living, our conduct. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, that's the Lord, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. All manner of conversation, not just when you're at the church house, but when you're at the workplace, when you're with your friends, when it's just you and the Lord. It says, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're commanded to be holy because our Lord is holy. And when we are holy, it's obvious that He is living through us. And when we're not, it's obvious that we're not letting Him do so. If we're going to be a good example, we've got to be a good example in our word, in our speech, in our conversation, our conduct. And thirdly, we see here in our text, in charity, it says, in the way we love. First, the way we love our Lord. The way we love Jesus. Go with me to Matthew 22. I didn't write down or type the scripture up today because I figured it'd be good for us to turn a little bit. Everybody says, well, don't do that next week, Pastor Tyler. Matthew 22. Verse 37, very familiar passage. 22:37. Bible paper. When you hear that term, it just brings immediate joy to my heart. Okay, Matthew 22:37. Verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And the first part of that command is loving the Lord. And how do we love the Lord? We love the Lord first through communion with Him, spending time with Him, intimate, close, focused time with our Lord. That's how you love Him. But not only communing with Him, but conforming to Him. Remember, the goal here is to be the mold that everyone else follows. But in order for us to be the mold that everyone else follows, we've got to be molded into the image of Jesus. See, the goal here isn't for people to be molded into the image of Tyler so they could be like me. No, I am to be controlled by the Lord so much so that I am in the shape of Him, and then when they follow me, they're living like Jesus too. That's the goal. Not nothing special about Tyler Fenner. If you think, yeah, live like me and you'll be something special. No. I want to live like Jesus so that you can follow me and you can live like Jesus. That's what's being said here. And to do that, we've got to love our Lord, but also, we saw in that commandment there, when we love our Lord, we will then also love our loved ones, our neighbors, those around us. And true love, let me back up and say this, is not a fuzzy feeling that comes and goes, and you love someone when you feel like it, and then when you don't, you don't. That's not true love. True love is a choice to love, even maybe when the other person doesn't deserve that love. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He chose to love me when I did not deserve that love. That's what true love is. No matter what aspect of life it may be a marriage, it may be a son or a daughter who has a mom or a dad that's living in a manner that infuriates them. You say, they don't deserve my love. You may be right. But true love chooses to say, I love you. But not only say it, show it. That's what true love does. They show love. And when you show love, it has an impact on the people you're loving. See, because there may be some believers that they'd say, I just can't love this person or that person. But they could see you love somebody in your life that doesn't deserve that love. And they say, if they can do that by the grace of God, Jesus living through them, I can do that too. You can do it. You can be an example in the way you love the Lord, in the way you love your loved ones. But not only that, it goes on to say, it says in verse chapter 4, verse 12, it says, in spirit, in spirit. What does that mean? First, I believe that is a reference to our attitude. Guess who usually has the worst attitude on planet Earth? Christians / Baptists, saved Baptists, or professing Baptists, I guess you could say. I mean, some people, in my Christian walk and in my ministry, and praise the Lord, it's not that way here. There'll be times I come up to people, I mean, just, hey, how you doing? I was so glad to see him. How you doing? I wish I could have retracted that question. I wish I could have. Well, pastor, or well, preacher, or Tyler, or whatever it may be. Nobody here has ever done that to me, praise the Lord, but I've been time. And then they go into a sob story. Now, some people are hurting, and some people go through hard times, but it just tears you apart when all you ever hear out of someone's mouth is negativity and sadness and just bleh. It makes you, it does not help, does it? I have worked with people in the past where every word out of their mouth was negative. And guess how I felt all day? Not positive. We can have a good attitude in every situation. Situation may be bad. May be real bad. But in that situation, by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit working through you, you can go through that hard time with a good attitude and a sweet spirit. Miss Linda Brooks is a great example of that. Now, she is currently going through a really rough time. We all know that. And she's going through this time with a tear in her eye and a smile on her face. What an example that is. If we're going to be an example to other believers, and see, that is when you're the greatest example, by the way. When I say example of the believers, I'm not saying when things are going good and you got a raise at work and the weather's good outside and man, you're having a good hair day and all that stuff. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying be a good example when things are bad. Be a good example all the time, because people's eyes are on you a lot closer when you're going through a hard time. And right now we're seeing in the life of Miss Linda, Brother Steve, Miss Vanessa, their whole family, great examples of people going through a hard time with a good attitude. But not only in our attitude, but in our action. What I mean by that is our living for the Lord, our action spiritually, because if we do anything for God, any good at all, it is in and by the Holy Spirit, and we all know that. Because we've got a resource that is ours in the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and an amazing amount of power that lives within us that God wants to demonstrate through our lives. But the requirement is that we've got to surrender ourselves to that. You've heard me say it, be not drunk with wine, wine in excess, but be filled, controlled by the Spirit. To be controlled, you've got to surrender that control. We've got a resource. The requirement is to surrender, and the result is us doing amazing things by the power of God. And you know what that amazing thing may be? That amazing thing that God does through you may be you in a terrible situation. Smiling and say, I love you, Lord. Because in the world's eyes, you shouldn't do that. How can you raise your hand and praise God when you're going through that? That shows that it's not you, that's God. If it was up to us, we'd be angry, we'd be distraught. But by the grace of God, we can do great things even in the midst of hard times. So we see we ought to be an example in spirit. And then next we see it says in faith. I believe this is twofold. First, obviously, in our trust of the Lord. Reading a promise in the Word of God and believing it to the point that you act upon it. If you're saved, you've had faith at least once. Because you heard the gospel that Jesus lived, He died, He was buried, He rose again, and that you were a sinner deserving of hell. But if you would repent of your sin and place your faith in Him, He would forgive your sins and save your soul. And if you had faith in that, you showed that by responding and calling upon His name. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what faith is. Be an example in faith. Don't only know the promises of God, but believe them to the point where you live accordingly. Because true faith produces action, but not only in our trust, our faith in the Lord, but also this gives a kind of indication to in our trustworthiness, our faithfulness. And this one stings. But be an example in your faithfulness to the work of God, to the house of God. Not just the big things, the little things. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. See, we need to be faithful. Faithful is faithful. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? Faithful is faithful with the little things and faithful with the big things. Faithful is not faithful with this, but not faithful with that. What are you saying, Pastor Tyler? Faithful is being faithful, coming to church on Sunday, coming to church on Sunday night, coming to church on Wednesday, coming to church, going to the nursing home, coming to choir practice, coming to the youth events. Now, I understand life happens and things happen where you can't make that. So I'm not saying if someone's sick or whatever, you know what I mean? But if you have the opportunity, faithfulness comes. Faithfulness says, yeah, I'm tired. I had a long day at work, but I'm going to come. Faithfulness says, I know that I've got a million things I've got to do, but I'm going to read my Bible right now. I'm going to pray right now. Every single day. Be an example in that area. But man, oh man, do we need God's grace there. Because the devil does everything in his power to keep us from being that. So when we are, it's obvious that he's doing it through us. The Lord is. So in our faith, in our trust, in our trustworthiness, and then finally in our purity. We talked about earlier in our conversation what we do, and I guess now you could say we need to be an example of in the things we don't do. You don't have to go there. You can if you want, but Psalm chapter 1. I love this. What a great example of what a godly man does not do. And we won't dig deeply into it, but Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed, happy, or it could be said, happy, happy, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So we see here, purity, what we don't do. Just because another believer thinks they can do something, if it's wrong, doesn't mean that you can. If the Bible says something is wrong, the Bible says very clearly, avoid all appearances of evil. That means that there's a lot of things that some people may in here think are borderline, close. But Christians, we are to be different. Be an example. I'm not saying go get rid of your TVs and to pull all your blinds and never leave the house again. I'm not saying that. But we need to be an example in what we don't do as well. That may mean us saying, hey, I can't go to that. I can't be there. I love you, but I can't go there. Or whatever it may be with a friend or a family. It's okay to say no. And other believers see that. They see you be an example. I can't go there because that dishonors God. We need to be an example of what we do and what we don't do. So we see there all the areas in word, conversation, in charity, spirit, faith, and purity. And number four, and finally, and I'll be done, the after effects. What is the result? The first result, sadly, a lot of times is you living a godly life and being an example will enrage some. Some professing believers will see the way you live and get mad. You know why? Because it points out in them what they need to change. And I'm not saying, yeah, you can walk around with your chest poked out and say, I'm better than you. Absolutely not. Somebody's walking close to the Lord, you realize just how wicked and dirty and awful you are. Let's not get a high view of ourselves. But sometimes when we strive to live a godly life, I mean, you've seen it in the working world. You may work your tail off. and try to do the very best you can to honor God and to do well at that job. But you may have a coworker say, hey, ease up, man. You need to back off a little bit. You're making all of us look bad. It's not that you're doing anything extra special. You're just trying your best. And sometimes when you do that, it will make people mad, and expect that. But don't be discouraged by that. There have been times in my life where I've tried to, I have been doing things because I felt that they honored God, but then other believers kind of scoffed at it or made fun of it. And in that moment, I changed it, and I'm ashamed of that. Don't let them dissuade you from living a godly life and being an example. You be an example, come what may. Because people may have something to say about that. But if you're doing it God's way, what matters is what God says and not what they say. So the after effects, it will enrage some. Praise the Lord, it will energize some. So that's the goal. That's the whole goal. Being an example of the believers is for other believers to see your example and want to be that way. What that means is they want to be more like you. Have made them want to be more like Jesus because they're seeing Jesus in you. That's the whole goal. It will enrage some, energize some, and the ultimate goal, it will exalt the Savior. It brings glory to God when you're an example to the believers and to make them want to be more like Jesus. That's the whole goal. And every person in this room that has been born again and placed their faith in Jesus Christ, you have the opportunity to be a good example that makes others want to be more like Jesus. And in so doing, it brings glory to Jesus. And that should be our life's goal in all that we do. That is how we can be a good example. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as Miss Mary comes to the piano this morning. I know this message hasn't been I guess you could say, encouraging or hanging from the chandelier message, but it is a needful one that God wants us to do. He wants to use us to be a great example. Praying, the altar's still open. Don't leave without doing business with the Lord.